It's always a schuss to be together. To prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, Beruchnius, and our wives, our mothers, others who help maybe do a lot of achana for Shabbos Begashmius. We should help as well. We should all help. Some forget, you have to prepare Beruchnius as well. To be Mavrasedra, to be titled in the mikvah, Bada. Prepare the sedra, prepare the machshavas of the sedra as well. Meaning, shnayim mikvah chtargim zechiv and very important, and to go through the sedra, but to have some ian in the sedra and some machshava to see how that week's parsha is talking to us. If you wait till Shabbos, sometimes it's a little bit too late. You're not sure what you're supposed to be thinking about. What you're supposed to be gaining the prat in that every Shabbos has kedusha, every Shabbos is kodesh. Every Shabbos is a time just to be close to Hashem and disconnect from the outside world. But every Shabbos also, Beprat, has special kochos, special shefa. And the parsha is there to instill that in us and to remind us what we should be thinking about, how we should be growing. So it's supposed to be together on Shabbos. And people call tonight Thanksgiving. It's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. It's Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Zavad, it's beautiful to get together Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Okay. You know, I'll tell you what Thanksgiving, Emes is, I'll tell you Thanksgiving. I'm not going to go into any discussion of the Lamdas and Halacha right now, and to each their own, and obviously Yisrael is the most important thing in the world, so I don't have to say more. Emes. But I have two major issues with Thanksgiving. I'll tell you, I have two major issues with Thanksgiving. I have no problem with those who get together and have a big feast and have turkey and stuffing and chvesnish. Listen, we like eating. We're yidden. Growing up my whole life, we used to go to my grandparents every Thanksgiving for many, many years. It's nice mishpacha to get together. It's a beautiful thing. To have good food. Mach some brachas. That I have no problem with. For those who they're at that level, and hopefully not too many here, or maybe a little, I don't know, dabble, a drop, but looking around, really almost nobody. To watch football, if that's what does it for you, and that's your mutter outlet that you need. Also, I don't have such a problem, depending on who you are, depending on where you're holding. Obviously, that's subjective to the person. It's very important for certain people. That's the best outlet for certain people, right? It's probably a chiv deraisa for certain people to watch football. Because if they weren't doing that, Hashem Yirachem, what else was going on? So, l'maisa, it could be mamish a chiv deraisa for certain people. It could be a beautiful thing. My biggest problem with Thanksgiving is two things. Number one is too few people actually celebrate it. What I mean is even the families that say, Thanksgiving, we have to get together, we have our turkey, we have our big together. Again, which I said is fine. I have no problem. Again, I'm not even getting into halacha of it. It's definitely tzad l'hakil across the board, I believe, no question. There's a tzad l'chumra. And we have to respect, I'm not saying not. But again, going with the tzad l'hakil and the big tzaddikim who say it was fine, I have no problem with it. And the biggest problem is that those same yidden don't celebrate it. What I mean don't celebrate it? They get together, they eat, they have their time together. Was their modim 1 second longer than any other day? Meaning if we're going to have a day like Thanksgiving, and we can't deny, we live in America, halavai not too much longer, especially in the America that we're living in. But l'maisa, if we're living in America and there is a Thanksgiving, so take chizik from it. And you know what the chizik should be? More hakar satoif to the Eibishter. More hakar satoif to the Rabban Shalom. And we should have had extra, so take it and have extra kavan in your modem today. Say a 2 minute modem. Have more kavan in our brachas today. Have time for Cheshbon HaNefesh and his bodhidus to thank Hashem for everything that he does for us. Beautiful, incredible. How many people did that today? So my biggest problem is too few celebrate it. Halavai, we should celebrate Thanksgiving properly by having a long Shemon Esrei. By sitting and learning more, because I want to thank you, Hashem, for giving me a Torah. That's what we... And Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of places, because there's, you know, secular world closes down, and there are a lot of shuls that have extra learning today, and have a lot of extra shiurim today. My father, every legal holiday, goes to Rabbi Reisman in Brooklyn, his shul. They have a whole entire day of shiurim. And beautiful shiurim. People that would generally be working are learning all day. Thus is what a Thanksgiving's for. Thank you, Hashem, you gave me Torah. Beautiful. Incredible. So too few, I think, but too few people actually do that. Too few people use it as a chizik and a... And it's this week's sedra.
Vayetzea, hapamod es Hashem. Alkein kerash mal Yehuda. We're all Yehudim, to our essence.
I mean, Joey Newcomb, who's a close friend of mine, he said this week a Torah, it's from the Maram Shik. So beautiful. He says, hapamod es Hashem was a question. Hapam, Leia says, she was so thankful. She has her fourth kid. She has four beautiful kinder. Four shift day kah. She thought she's only going to have three. And she says, hapamod es Hashem? Only this time I'm going to thank Hashem? Meaning, what happens often in our life? Something good happens. Thank you, Hashem, for that moment. Then we forget about it the next day. And for sure, by the next week. With some married chevra now, you stop him thinking daily, thank you, Hashem, that you brought me such a beautiful basharit, such a... Chevra has children here, thank you that you brought me such beautiful children. Hapamo Hashem, only this time, only right now, I'm going to thank Hashem. Alkein krush mo Yehuda, therefore she called him Yehuda. Why? So now every time she says Yehuda means Hoda. So now, not just this time, every time I say the name Yehuda, I'm remembering Hoda, 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 Hoda. Every time, Yehudala, Hoda. It's constant, it has to be consistent. Non-stop, thank you Hashem. Not just for today and for yesterday and for last week and for everything in our lives. So much to be thankful for. So halavai, we should celebrate Thanksgiving. That's my biggest, my problem number one is people don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Problem number two, I wanted to mention, and you'll see where we're going with Shir tonight, is the amount for those in certain makomos of Bittul Torah. I don't understand, for the life of me, I don't understand why there are yeshivas that don't have at least Limudei Kodesh today. They don't have Shira. You want to not have Limudei Chol because the families get together and let the families go together and not have secular. Beautiful, wonderful. I have no problem with that. As I just said. Why wouldn't there be Tefillah B'Tzibur today? Why wouldn't there be Shira today in certain places? Why is today an off day? Because it's Thanksgiving. It's an off day from Torah. Chas v'shalom. So that it should be that in some makoimos and even in certain yeshivas and people, that it should be any bit of Torah involved. That because of things, if we're supposed to be using it a day, you don't have to thank Hashem. So how do we thank Hashem as Yidden? We daven and we learn. And we do chesed, we do mitzvahs. So we should be mevatel Torah? Pum faker, learn more Torah. Learn more Torah. But we all understand this. So let's learn Torah. The schus, we get together to learn Torah. What a schus it is to learn Torah. Don't ever forget the schus it is to learn Torah. So we'll open up this week's parasha. What a beautiful parasha. It's a schus. You know, I miss all these parashas. It's so sad. It's going by quickly. You know, we're already in Vayetze. We're already by Bereishis, Noach, Lechla, Vayera, Chayisara. Told us they're all the way the whole year again. Sefer Bereishis. All of Torah is beautiful. We love all of Chumash. And we love Sefer Vayikra as well. We do. But let's be real. Be honest. I'll be honest. That's Chatayani Maske Ayom. The way Bereishis talks to me, Sefer Vayikra doesn't talk to me. So, forget about all the Karbonos. I mean, to learn about the Sota, I mean, that's what I really, okay, that's really what I mean, there's beautiful Torahs, don't get me wrong, but that's not, you know, that's heartwarming. Heartwarming. These parashas, the parashas of the Avos, the parashas of Shiftei Kah, the parashas of the birth of Klal Yisrael, it's mamish incredible to relive it every year, not just to learn, to relive the life of Yaakov Avinu, to relive the life of Rachel Imenu. What a schus. I hope we're all learning Chumash, going through the parasha. What a schus it is. I was by Chabura by Rav Matel with Yisrael Meir, by Rav Matel Zilber, and he mentioned something, and one of the chevra there said, he was asking, he couldn't, where it was from. Of course, the only reason he was asking for it was from because he couldn't remember. He remembers everything. He knows Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh, because it wasn't anywhere. He thought it might be. That's why he couldn't know, because it actually wasn't anywhere. Okay. But that's it. So one of the chevra says, I think it's in this parsha, but I'm not sure. And the chevra says, well, I'm not a Baal Kairis, I'm not sure. And Ramat looks at you, you're not a Baal Kairis, but I'm sure your maver said you every week. What do you have to be? Yeah, you don't have to be Baal Kairi to know Chumash. He says it's a chiyuv to learn the parsha every week. You have to go through the parsha every week. What a schus it is to go through the parsha these weeks. Incredible. How can you not go through the parashas this week? So we open up the beginning of Vayetze, and we all know Yaakov, Vayetze, Yaakov, Be'er-Shava, Yecharon. Yaakov is leaving Be'er-Shava, going to Haran. He's running away from Esav after last week's parasha. Esav wants to kill him. He's going to Haran. He's going to get married. Vayifka ba'amakum. So it's hard to give shir. I love it. But on these parshas, it's like, I want it. I don't know if the chevra will be okay sitting here for 3 hours, because you get up to every single word and there's so many Torahs and so much you want to give over and so much. Vayifka ba'amakum. We'll just start giving makoros. So chevra, you know, so at least we've said it at this table many times over the years, I believe. But if you haven't seen the drash moshem vayifka ba'amakum inside, you have a chiv tonight. Whoever hasn't seen it inside, after Shira, I'll show it to you, and you have to take a picture, and then you have to make a copy and put it up on your wall, because the biggest chiyah for any of us living in Chutz La'aretz, that Torah. Whoever knows that Torah? Just if I say, Vayivka b'makom drash Moshe, if you don't know that Torah, then forget it, wait. There's a chevra, no one knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Stop Shira. Stop Shira. We'll start Shira in a few minutes. Listen to this Torah. I don't know if we're going to get to share that. No, Mamish. You know the Torah. You're just not remembering it as the Drash Moshe. I know you know the Torah.
Get
the Drash Moshe. It's on the right side, in the middle, second level or third level up.
Are we pausing?
We're pausing nothing. Whoever wants to learn needs to learn this Drash Moshe also. If you don't need to, if the whole world who lives in Chutz La'aretz has to know this Drash Moshe, or I don't know what we're doing here. It was worth coming together. I can't believe the chevra doesn't know the Drash Moshe.
Never heard of the Drash Moshe.
Rav Moshe Feinstein. I don't know what
that's brother. I changed my mind.
By the way, it's supposed to tell the Drash Moshe. Drash Moshe was written by his children, by Rav David and Rav Ruvain, together with Samla and Rav Tendler. I don't know exactly who wrote this piece, but Rav David was involved. So Rav David Zechasad Kashvarach, we're still in the Shloshim from Rav David. To share a Torah is a schus just to share a Torah. So Drash Moshe, Rav Moshe says as follows.
Open. Of course it opens. Where else would it open to?
You can keep that. I don't know what that is. But anyways, Rav Moshe asks, there's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph. The Gemara in Chulin says, this is a famous Gemara, whoever probably knows the Gemara. The Yaakov Avinu, he's traveling to Haran, and he gets all the way to Haran, and what did he realize? He forgot? What did he forget? Thank you, Shmuel. To daven by Harabayas. His father's tata daven by Harabayas, his zayda daven by Harabayas, after daven by Harabayas for Hatzlacha. I'm going to Haran, I'm looking for a wife, and I'm mamish going to be in the hub of Taiva and Sheker. I got to daven first. So he has to go back. And he has Kvistas Adarach. But Gemara Chulin says he has Kvitzas Aderech like never before. What is Kvitzas Aderech usually? Eliezer Kvitzas Aderech, other. What is Kvitzas Aderech usually? You had a Chesnesh. You had to go somewhere in a week. It took only one day to get there. You had to go somewhere in a day. It took an hour. You remember the Drash Moshe
now.
I said it. I cannot say it. I live this. I think about this. I'm telling Chevra. I think about this Drash Moshe. Bli guzma every day of my life.
You're going to be telling a story about the GWB car store.
No, this is from a different show. Relax. Enough. No, now you're getting already. You think you're trying, things. Just relax. Yeah.
I'll go to the consonants.
Okay. Just listen, Trevor. We don't have to go through every story tonight. We have to go. Torah. That story is Torah, actually. Trevor knows that story. We're not going to get anywhere tonight. It's a good thing we started early here. Ramaisa.
They don't
know
the
safer,
they don't know.
Correct. So the Drash Moshe, Gemara Chulin says, every other Kvisa Zaderech, a person, it took a week, it only took a day. It took an hour. But what happened over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up Har Habayis, and he brought it to Avram and Haran. He brought it to him. And the obvious question is why? Because Baruch, even when he does a nace, he does it b'derech teva. Every other kvisa derech, you're trying to go quick, and you got there very quickly somehow. Why would it be that Hashem would lift up Har Habayis and bring it in? That's crazy. Okay, Yaakov, I don't want you to travel so long. So get, boom. Like that, you'd be there. Why bring it to him? Rav Moshe explains, and I'll read you his words in a moment because you have to hear him say this. And before I say it, just remember Rav Moshe, who Rav Moshe was. Not just his tzidkus and his anivus and his godless, the leader of Klal Yisrael in Chutz Laretz for generations. But Rav Moshe had a choice at one point. Listen to this, Chavar. Rav Moshe had a choice. Rav Moshe thought to him, after when he was leaving Europe, where should he go? Should he go to Eretz Yisrael or should he go to America? Now, in those days, there was no Torah in either place. Not much. There was little, not much. So you know what Moshe did? Chavar, you know the story? This is incredible. Just know this story. He did a Goral Hagra. We don't know how to do a Goral Hagra. You need to be someone like Rav Moshe to do a Goral Hagra. He took a Tanakh, he did a Goral Hagra. You know what the Pasuk ended up? Now, before I tell you the Pasuk, Rav Aaron Cutler already was here and started Lakewood. It was a small, nothing yeshiva at the time. He just started Lakewood together with my Alta Zayde. My Alta Zayde was one of the builders of Lakewood. Rav Moshe Cohen. I'll show you a picture of him after my father just brought over. My Alta Zayde was one of the builders of Lakewood. My Alta Feta was one of... My Alta Feta was the first Kollel younger man in Lakewood. Imagine, the first Kollel younger man in Lakewood was my great-uncle. He went, my great-uncle, before he was married, and he was learning in the mirror. He was Chavrusas with Rav Shmuel Scheinberg, with Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's brother. They were in the mirror in Europe. They got back on the last boat together before the Holocaust. They got back. And then when he got married, he went to Lakewood. He was the first Kollel younger man. Rabbi Yaakov Bender lived by him in Lakewood, actually, at the time. But okay, there's a lot of... Not for now, all the stories. So Rav Moshe did a Goral Hagra. Remember, Aaron was already here. He did a Goral Hagra. You know what the Pasuk said? And by the way, America at the time was called a Midbar, a desert, because it was desolate of Ruchnius. The Pasuk says, this is what the Pasuk falls out on, Rav Moshe. Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, Leich la'aharon bimidbarah. If anyone has any shailos and amuna, just tell them this story. Okay, that's all you have to say. Taras Hashem to me, my mishivas nafesh. Anyway, so Rav Moshe, remember, was in Chutz Laretz. This is what Rav Moshe says. You know why Hashem lifted up Har Habayis and brought it to Charon? Because Yaakov Avinu was scared as could be. The Medrash said he felt come in kaisel upon him, like there was a wall in front of him. He's going to Chutz Laretz. His whole life has been Torah. He's learned by his Tata Yitzchak, by his Zayda Avram, in Shem Ve'Aver, 77 years old. He's going to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz and be by Lavan and be in Haran. What's life going to be like? You're going to grow up and live in Cedarhurst or Woodmere, New York with a smartphone in 2020? How are you going to survive? MS, that's what Yaakov's thinking. And he's scared. And he had a pachad, moira. Again, he felt the Medrash says, "Kimin koisel," like you know, it means like he's hitting a wall. So you know what Hashem did? He didn't want him to come back to Har Habayis as if to say, "Oh, you have to be in yeshiva overlooking the koisel, sitting and learning in order to be from." He brought Har Habayis to him, as if to say, "Yaakov Avinu, this could be kadosh too. This could be your Har Habayis. It's all up to you. I'm the same Rabbeinu Shalom here. It's the same Svarim here. It's the same Siddurim here. Same Tfilos here." Listen to the words of Rav Moshe. And that's what he said. Manoira Makom Zeshu Beis Alokim Gam Kan B'chol HaKedusha, with all the holiness. Kedusha Shlema, complete. Don't get me wrong, of course, we're all yearning to be in Eretz Yisrael. But we have to believe, you know the song that we grew up on? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. That's the deepest song, Uncle Moshe. Mamish deepest. I remember one Purim, we sang that for a while. When was it? It was Mamish the highest. I don't know when. O2? You weren't here, O2?
You were alive, O2.
Oh, gosh. I don't know what year was what. Lemaisa. No, one perm in this house. It was a perm in this house we were doing it. But anyways, but we probably O2 also, maybe. I don't know. Hashem is here, Hashem is here, Hashem is truly everywhere. We have to believe that. Listen to our bunch of Kedusha Shlema. There's a big limud. Don't ever forget these words. I'm telling you, you have to photocopy, put it up in a beautiful frame over your bed. That a limud gadol levayish, a person should never be misyayish lomar and say shebedar hazeh, in this generation, 2020, the world of internet, the world of immorality, the world of mamish. We live in a world where it's in our face 24/7. To just fall in Yetzirah and everywhere we turn. Ubimakom hazeh, and where we live, the hub of materialism. Say, there's a lot else here, but there's a lot of taiva. Kasha lahasik shlemus, it's very difficult to be shalim. I'm not going to be complete. And therefore, ulistapik muet. A little bit is enough, it's good, it's tremendous. Ma'at Torah, ma'at mitzvahs, a little Torah, a little mitzvah. If I go to Minyan 3 times a day, how many of my friends don't even know where their tefillin is? How many people do I know don't even know where their tefillin are? I mean, my eyes cry. I was by a chas another day, and a Talmud of mine is telling me how he doesn't remember the last time he put on tefillin. A guy who's hadn't learned 2 years in Eretz Yisrael, a guy who's hadn't learned. So, but me, I go to Minyan. Me, I learn every day for a few minutes. Ma'at Torah, ma'at, that's tremendous. By the way, for some, that is tremendous. You have to know where you're holding and who it is. And that's, again, depending on what all the other achrayas is, what all the other responsibilities, what stage of life you're in. But don't, he said, don't be mistapik b'mu'ah. That's the goal. That's the aspiration. Wow, that's awesome. And this door, and that's how I could be. Ella, what's Hashem saying? He brought our abayas to Choron to say, gam b'yosef po. Also here, Rav Moshe is talking to himself. He was in the Lower East Side. Also here, New York City. Olav lahasig kol hashlemus. You could reach kol hashlemus. Harabayas tikashlemus. Top of shuvubanim tikashlemus. Leos baki b'toira, to be a baki b'toira, v'chein b'masim toivim. Therefore, harabayas is here. What a toira. Read the words of Rav Moshe. Can't be without this toira. If you never heard this toira before, I don't know what to tell you. You haven't been living yet. Biggest Torah. Vayifka v'amokom. That's what he got when he reached that place. Okay, now let's learn what else. There's so much more. What? Barditchver again. Start over. So what else happened there? Let's go. What else happened there? Vayifka v'amokom. Everywhere. I can't read because in the next words, okay. Vayalan sham. Vayalan Shem. We'll talk about Vayalan Shem, so I'll hold off. We're going to talk about Vayalan Shem. And he slept there. Kiva HaShemesh. We're going to talk about that too. Because the sun set. Wasn't supposed to set yet. Hashem wanted him to sleep there. And Vayalan Shem, he didn't sleep for 14 years, Rashi tells us. Suddenly he sleeps. Like, Chevri, you have questions on this? Like, you see the Rashi. You all know the Rashi. Vayalan Shem. Vayishkav b'makom ahu. There he lay down, but he hasn't slept 14 years. Vashem v'aver. Shkoyach, beautiful. He didn't sleep in yeshiva. But like, now, fine. Yaakov finally could go to sleep. Oh, and Harabayas? Like, what? Really? After 14 years not sleeping, the first place he's going to choose to sleep is on Harabayas? It's a little strange, right? You ever think about that? Like, what that was all about? What's the pasuk say? Let's start with. Vayikach me'avne ha'makom v'yasim rashosav. He takes the stones of that place. Something specific about these stones, hamakom, of the place. Not just random stones. Not just random stones. And he put them, mirashosav, around his head. Now why does Rashi say he put the stones around his head? Who was my Rashi? Who knows the Rashi? Why did Rashi say, why? Protect him from what? Animals, beautiful Shmuel, right? Rashi says, "Also, k'min marzev sabla rosho shiyare mipnei chayus rose." He was afraid of wild animals. Let's start there. Now let's start learning. I mean, what we were supposed to, what we plan? We've been starting. We've been learning. What we were planning on learning tonight? You don't know what we're planning to learn tonight. So the Eibush, I don't know either. Rabbis machshavas blavish v'asas Hashem yisakum. The Eibushter chooses what we're going to learn tonight. What do you think? Because I prepared a little Torah. Who knows what we're going to learn tonight? Only the Eibushter knows what we're going to learn tonight. Have a raya. It's chveis. There's 25 minutes into shir. We haven't even started what I prepared tonight. So who knows what we're going to learn tonight? The Eibushter chooses what we're going to learn tonight. Chevron. if you're afraid of wild animals, what are the wild animals? I don't know, a bear. What else? What could it be? What else? Okay, what could it be? What? A fox? I don't know. Whatever. Coyote. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Could be. Anyways, Lamaisa, you're afraid of a wild animal. The only thing I have to protect. The only thing I have to protect is my head.
Mr. Rai.
I only have to. Shh. I only have to protect my head. I don't have to protect anything else. Oh, so if I protect my head, I'm safe. So Chesish, whatever you said, the coyote, the fox, whatever's in our soul, whatever's going to come your way. But remember, he was in Charon, so maybe there are different things. We've never been to Charon. Maybe there are bears there. Whatever it is, Lameisa, whatever wild animal's there, oh, the wild animal, it only goes after the head. The rest of my body, I don't have to protect. Like it's Chesish, if the coyote or the fox, whatever it is hungry, it probably won't even go out. It's going to go after my stomach, my legs. But that's, I just have to protect my head from the chesros. What is that? What's going on? Why is he only concerned with the head? And secondly, then we know the famous Rashi that these rocks, these stones, were all fighting. They all wanted the head of Yaakov to be on them. Zemar Salayani Yachzadik is Rosh Hashem. Zemar Salayani Yachzadik. Because Baruch does this miracle, they all become one stone. Eibishter. Such a miracle is needed in the world. Again, so that's a nace that we need to do. Famously, a lot of Svarim talk about representing 12 Shvatim, and it's Achdus. Beautiful. For sure, that's one way to go. But we have to understand this. Now, by this way, what happened to this stone? We've mentioned this, I think, last year in Shir. We had a whole Torah. I'm not going to go there now. But last year in Shir, we spoke about the Zohar and Noach. What does Zohar Noach? What happened to the stone? You know what the stone became? It became the Evan Shasiyah, the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash. This stone was the focal point of the world. This stone is mamish the center of the world, which ultimately the Zohar talks about and says it's the same, it's a stone where the world was created from, actually. And we spoke last week how that's really pushed deep down into the ground, and this stone was opposite that, but it became one in some way. But forgetting about this cornerstone of the world, this stone became, in a certain sense already, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. So in some way, Yaakov Avinu was beginning Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Right here, right now. Which is incredible. We have to understand that as well. But let's go further. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, now we have to start learning and understanding. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that these stones were taken from the Mizbeach of Akedas Yitzchak. Harabayas was where Akedas Yitzchak took place. And these stones were part of the Mizbeach that Yitzchak Avinu laid on and was about to give up his life to God. And Yaakov, his son, took those same stones to protect his head. We have to understand why and how. But before we go there, the following question. And we have a lot to answer, and we're going to explain. The Magen Avraham, in a different sefer, Zayas Ranan, he explains, he asked the following question. The Mizbeach was Kaddush. It had a din Kedusha to Mizbeach. Or the Mizbeach of Akedas Yitzchak. It's Hekdish. How could Yaakov Avinu take it and to sleep on it? To use it in such a mundane fashion? So he gives a couple answers. He says he was just surrounding his head with it, so he wasn't really being nene physically from it, so it might not be osur in that way. That's one possibility. Or he says perhaps it was pikuach nefesh. Comes Chassam Sefer and explains something so deep. And we have to learn this Chassam Sefer and understand what was going on here in a way, Mamish, I don't know if we never heard this Chassam Sefer, Mamish changes our whole view of the whole entire scene and what was going on in Yaakov Avinu. Chassam Sofer says, he starts with the Rashi that we explained already. Now Yaakov Avinu didn't sleep for 14 years, and suddenly he lays down to sleep. Now first of all, Chassam Sofer says something that many Mefarshim says. He says, there's already a Gemara in Sukkot of Nun Gimel that says if a person makes a Shvua not to sleep for 3 days, you make him sleep immediately. Because it's impossible to not sleep for 3 days. Your body couldn't handle it. Mamish, not at all. For 3 days, you couldn't handle it physically. Teshuvah Shav. Says, what do you mean he didn't sleep for 14 years? He wasn't a malach, he was a person, Yaakovin. So there he explains, like many explained, and this I'm sure you've heard before, some sefer says that it means he didn't lie down to go to sleep. It means what happened? He sat and learned all day, and at times he dozed off and fell over his gemara and fell asleep. Those were the sleeps that he had. Those were the sleeps that he had. And that was enough. So he slept throughout the day, but he fell asleep. He never vayishkav. He never lied down. The pasuk says vayishkav b'makomu. He lied down to go to sleep. So the question is, why now? Why was he laying down now? Chaim Sofer says as follows: Emes was, he wasn't going to go to sleep. He wasn't going to lie down. But kibo hashemesh. Suddenly he's there, it's the middle of the day, and the sun sets. Miraculously. Who made the sun set? Eibishter. And just like Yaakovinu says to himself, if Eibishter is making the sun set, I don't know who's learning Dafyomi here, if you're learning Pesachim, right? We already had the first Biblat that it says, well, you're only supposed to travel in Kitov, in the light. You're only supposed to travel when it's light outside. You're not supposed to travel in the dark. So I'm not supposed to travel. So it must be I'm supposed to lay down. It must be the Eibishter wants me to lay down. He wants me to lay down. And it must be, listen to what he said to himself. It must be he wants me to lay down in this makom, because this is where my father laid down. This is where my father laid down. But it goes even deeper. It says, Kibah HaShemesh, the sun set. What does the Gemara tell us, Chazal tell us in Yuma, and in other Mekoymos, I'll just share one, that Kibah HaShemesh represents. Amar Reb Chiya Bar, is Daf, Lam and Chesem, Beis in Yuma. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Reb Yechanan. Ein Sadik Nifter Min Ha'olam, Ache Nivr Sadik Kamoisai. Shem won't take a Tzadik until there's a new Tzadik that takes his place. I remember this Gemara thinking about this, having big kavanas by my son, Shmuel Yaakov. Some of the Chavir knows Shmuel. Most of the Chavir knows Shmuel. Probably be here at some point, who knows? If you stay late enough. He has his own achadus, he's doing in Yeshiva Bar Hashem. Or West Wing, one of the two, I don't know. This point still Yeshiva. This time of night. I had this in mind when Shmuel was born Chav Zayinov. It was a Thursday afternoon. Chav Zayinov. And a few hours later, Rav Pam was Nifter. Mamash, a few hours after he was born, he was Nifter Chav Ches. It was that night, a few hours later. Rav Pam was a Kohen, just like we're Kohanim. And therefore, Shmuel's middle name Yaakov is after Rav Pam's middle name. Rav Pam was Rav Avram Yaakov Pam. My father's Eliezer Avram, so we couldn't use the Avram. Shmuel's name is Shmuel after my wife's grandfather was just Shmuel, so we added Yaakov. We added Yaakov. Take a seat. We added Yaakov after Rav Pam, and I had in mind, and machshavos, and I was hoping, I still believe it. Then ein tzaddik nifter min olam, ad shenivra tzaddik kamoso. You have to have a tzaddik kamoso born before the new tzaddik is taken. So who was the yid that was born mamish right before Rav Pam was taken? Shmuel. But listen to the pasuk. Bez Hashem. Shenemar, as it says. Where do we learn this from? Where do we learn about the death of a tzaddik from? Vizorach Hashemesh uba Hashemesh. One sun sets and one sun shines and then one sun sets. Vizorach Hashemesh uba Hashemesh. So a new sun shines, the tzaddik's born, and then the tzaddik sets uba Hashemesh. Right. So we see that the Gemara uses as a mashal. It's a pasuk, but based on the Gemara that. The Zorach Hashemesh, Ba Hashemesh, the setting of the sun, is a tzaddik being nifter. Hashem made Ba Hashemesh. By the way, the Medrash Rabba, the Yaakov, is compared to the Shemesh, to the sun. Chasam Sofer says Yaakov said to himself. Maybe. He thought to himself. I can't suggest this wasn't Chasam Sofer. Listen to what Chasam Sofer says. His tate, lie down. To be Moisir Nefesh, Shalt Kiddush Hashem, by Kiddush Yitzchak. Eibishter said, You're not supposed to leave this world. You're supposed to just be willing to give up your life for Hashem. I'm saving you. There's a place. Keep it. You need to be here. Okay, go up to Gan Eden for 3 years, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. You'll come back. You'll marry Rivkula. You'll have a Yaakov. You'll have an Esav. Right? He said to himself, "Abba Hashemesh. Hashem just made the sun set. In the Makom where my father lied down to give up his life, which he ultimately, in a certain sense, didn't finish. Must be I'm supposed to finish." And he lied down in the exact Makom. This is what Chassam Sofer says. He took, now he took the stones of Akedas Yitzchak. Because he was going to finish off Akedas Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu was lying down in that Makom with the stones of Akedas Yitzchak because he thought, Ba Hashemesh, it's my time to go. I'm a Kabbal B'Simcha. As we know, Akedas Yitzchak B'Simcha, as we spoke about from the Neil Gishem Yishmol. And Shem Parshas Ve'er. He was lying down to die out Kiddush Hashem, Akedas Yaakov, with the stones of his Tata. You hear this? You ever hear such a Torah? Incredible, incredible new understanding and way to look at this whole Maisa. In Chassam Sofer says, you know why he took then the stones to surround his head? He wasn't concerned of physical animals killing him. You think Yaakov was afraid of physical animals killing him? Yaakov Avinu, he's on Har HaBayis. Really? Come on. You know what he's afraid of? You know what Chayas, what Rashi says, the Lashon of Chayas Ros, you see in the Zohar and Apikabola, it's Chayas Ros of Srafim, of Yetzharadik and Chayas Ros. That will what? Get into his machshavas and he'll start rationalizing, no, I'm not going to give up my life for Hashem, I need to get married first, I need to do more, this must be a trick. He was afraid of him not having the clarity that he had for that moment, and he would change his mind and not give up his life for Hashem. We see Yitzchak was afraid, he wanted to do it perfect, he covered himself, and that's why we covered the shofar, and he was the same way, I want to make sure that I have taristic machshavas and I don't have chasros. So he took the stones of Akedas Yitzchak and he surrounds his head so he doesn't have wrong machshavos, and he gives up his life as Kiddush Hashem. Imagine. And that's why he was lying down. And those are the stones that ultimately Hashem makes, and he bid the Nates put them together to be the cornerstone of Beis HaMikdash. Because that's the same clarity I want from Yidden who come to the Beis HaMikdash. I want you all to feel this. Ultimately Hashem said to Yaakov, just like he said to Yitzchak, yes, I wanted you to lie down, and I wanted you to be willing to give up your life for Hashem, but you have a lot more living to do. Go build Shiftei Ka. Go have 12 Shvatim. Go build Klal Yisrael. But you build Klal Yisrael after you become a Malach, after giving up your life in such a way, the way your father did. You're willing to be Moser Nefesh, Ki Atah Yadati, Ki Yarei Lekim Atah, Yaakov Avinu. Ki Atah Yadati, Ki Yarei Lekim Atah. You hear this because now we understand. Avram gave up his life for Hashem. Kivshon Eish. Yitzchok gave up his life for Hashem. Kedesh Yitzchok. And now through the Chacham Sofer, and the lens of the Chacham Sofer, the tzaddikim we have. What is chus to learn? Yaakov Avinu gave up his life for Hashem. And only then do they become what they become. Only an Avram that throws himself in the Kivshon Eish could become Avram on Goyim. And only a Yitzchok that goes and is willing to give up his life for Hashem could marry Rivka and have a Yaakov Avinu and build a Klal Yisrael. And only a Yaakov who does the same, is willing to be Moser Hashem, could then go to Choron and have the Shiftei Ka. Toras Hashem Tamim Mashiv's Nafesh. We have to, Mamish, we should have a Tanz. But again, we have so much more to learn. But you hear an understanding of Torah that we've learned this story. I've learned this 40 times in my life. I shouldn't say I learned it when 2 years old. But 3 or 4 years old in kindergarten, nursery. You all know the story. Who didn't come home from nursery when you were 3 or 4 with the picture drawn, colored with crayons, with a ladder going up with the Mutzavarts of Rosh HaMishamayim? And we know this is one story we all know. This is a story we all know. Okay, we might have not learned the depth of Reuven switching the beds in nursery, but this story we learned. So we've been learning this story, all of us, and how old everybody is here. 18 years, 19 years, 20 years, 38 years maybe. See the depth of Torah, the Amkut, the Torah, Torah is meant to be Mashiach's Nafesh. What a beautiful, what a schus it is to learn Torah. What a schus it is to see the depth of Torah. What a schus it is to see Hashem in Torah. Oh, love it. Love it. That they're Yidden that don't get this and they think they're going to get their high by watching some, binge watching some show on Netflix. And then what? The next Israeli show that comes out, Shkoyach. Big deal. And then what? What did you get from that? Nothing. Emptiness. You have something you could talk about? We have something we can talk about. This is something to talk about. It's something to live. Your mom should, you feel it. You feel this in your neshama. You feel this in the kishkas. It's awesome. What a schus. Thank you, Hashem. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Hashem, for Torah. Just thank you, Hashem, for Torah. But what does this mean for us, Bechinas Avoida? It's a beautiful, incredible Torah, incredible way of looking at this whole parasha. What does this tell me? What's the depth? Because, again, Torah is not a history book, and Torah is not just to talk intellectually, or even esoterically, in this beautiful, incredible way, with the Hasidus that we connect to, and the Godless we connect to. Because I'm Sefer was a Rebbe too, we all know. But Lamaisa, what does that mean for me? How am I going to be a different Yid because of the Torah? What is this going to talk to me? That Yitzchak was willing to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem, the way Yaakov. It's cool, it's awesome, it's incredible. But what does it mean to me? Our Chaim HaKadosh says, this is an Our Chaim HaKadosh says something we've said here before, but we have to understand tonight. So our Chaim in the beginning of Tisave, he says, Golos HaRisho Niglo, the four Golios, we all know. Golos HaRisho Niglo B'schus Avram Avinu, Al Shalom. Golos Beis Niglo B'schus Yitzchak. Gimel B'schus Yaakov Avinu. That was Yavon. We'll get to Chanukah, don't worry, we're getting there. Dalet, the Golos we're in, the Edom today, Talay B'schus Moshe. Why? Tense words. He goes on to explain. I'm not going to go through the whole piece right now. Why it's here in Tzatzave. Shemen's Torah. A lot of Chanukah Torahs. But what Dor Chaim HaKadosh is telling us. Dor Chaim HaKadosh is telling us that if we want Geula, if we want Mashiach, we want a Zman of Kula Ruchni. We want a Zman of free from mask wearing and COVID and hearing about COVID and free of Black Lives Matter and free of all the taivas and materialism of Chutzlaritz and free of everything that's holding us back individually and being what we all want, Gula and Yeshua and those who need Refuos. Today was a big day of Refuah. It was a big Hakar Satov. I don't know if everyone knows. It was a Yid in our neighborhood right here. Lives 2 minutes away, drive on Cedars Avenue. Yuri Dukes. Yuri Dukes. It's a Chabadnik, a close friend of my father, Yuri Dukes. Very special man. He was in the hospital 241 days. From the beginning in March, he was in the hospital. He was... ventilators. He was on a machine. I don't remember the name of the machine. That he was the longest person ever to be on that special machine saving his life. No one ever lasted. Never was ever as long as he was on one of the machines that he was on. There were people who gave zero hope. Not 1%. Zero hope. And he came home today. He left the hospital. I'll show you videos after. My father was there. When they brought him home, my father was there with him. He saw Yuri Fuchs' father embrace him and say, "Tei brachas shachianu v'kiman v'gan olas manas." Imagine the moment, refuos, nisim, they're happening. We want that. You know what? The Arachayim HaKadosh telling us holding us back. We're not learning enough. Not enough amelus b'toyra, because it's going to come in Zchus Moshe Rabbeinu. But Yekarabas, the Gula will come from learning Mishnayis. We have to learn more. Amelus B'Torah. I'll tell you, a famous a famous remez. Some of you have heard this remez before, but I never knew. As the Shvila Pinchas quoted it from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. That I never knew was from him. The pasuk in Yeshaya, Tzion b'mishpat tifta v'shivya b'tzdaka. So Tzion b'mishpat tifta will be redeemed, will be geula for Tzion for Eretz Yisrael, right? We're going to have the yeshivya b'tzdaka. So if you take a matra, Tzion b'mishpat tifta, it's 1076, exact matra, Talmud Yushalmi. V'shivya b'tzdaka, 524, exact matra, Talmud Bavli. You know when we're going to be zoiche? To Tzion Tipode, we're going to be zoiche to Gula. When we're steiging in Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yushalmi. David HaMelech, Melech Mashiachu, says the beautiful words that we all know because we sing it. But we don't sing it, we have to live it. Ma'ahavti sarasecha kol yom yisichasi. Ma'amish. What it is, J.R. Permanent. What it is to sing those songs on Simchas Torah. I always, Ma'amish, Ma'ahavti sarasecha, how much I love Torah. Kol hayom yisichasi, the only thing I want to talk about. David HaMelech says he's Melech Mashiachu. He's alluding, he's telling us, B'derech Remez, how we're going to get to Mashiach through Torah. If you take Gematria, Ma Hafti Sarasecha Kol Hayoyim, exactly 1600, exactly Talmud Yerushalmi, Talmud Bavli. Can't make these up. What does David Melech also say? Atatokum Tirachim Sion Kies Lechana Kiva Moed. Atatokum Tirachim 1600. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. Tirachim Sion, Kies Lechana Kiva Moed, 1600. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. We want Gula, are we learning enough Torah? We want Gula, we have to ask ourselves, are we learning enough Torah? Yes, it's amazing. I'm talking to people I know who do learn Torah. You wouldn't be here if you don't learn Torah. We wouldn't be learning together on Thanksgiving night. People are full, people are tired. Okay, we started here a little bit early. That was just because I was able to, and it makes sense to it after. We don't cut into a regular night Seder, but the guys who Chever is learning. So we call 10:15, means we start by 10:40. Even the Chever learns night Seder till 10. Meir, if you still have enough time to get here, felt it's still okay to start then. There's no senior Chizik, wasn't allowed to tonight, but okay, we're not going to start. We want this to go up on YU Torah, so we'll stop there. But the MS is, as much as we learn, are we learning enough? Erev Shabbos, Chodesh on Friday, do we learn enough? Rather, we should be helping our mothers, and we should be preparing for Shabbos, and going to mikvah, and if we need a cooking help, rather. But the other time, like, oh, do we have Seder Friday morning, at least after davening? Shabbos. Friday night, the long Lel Shabbos. We had to spend time with our family in a beautiful Suda, and with our wives, and with our families, and with our mother. But then, you know, I was thinking this week, one of my Talmidim, a very close Talmid, Yudin Nafshi, Chaim Gedalia Feibash, Howie Feibash, had a baby girl, his first child, Baruch Shem Mazel Tov, Layla. Mona Leah, I think is the full name, but Leah was named after his grandmother. His father, spoken about him before, Yeshua, Josh Feibish of Hashalom, Zeicher Tzadik HaShivracha. His father moved into our neighborhood. Let me tell you where he came from. He didn't. They lived in Lawrence. His father passed away already a bunch of years ago. I told of a story by him and Rabbi David, right? I told the Chaver the story about him and Rabbi David. Nisim Gluyim. Chaver knows the story. Okay, you know what? No one has to get anywhere. We have to. If you don't know the story. No, you know the story. It's in the book also. You guys didn't learn the book. I have the book on Bereishis. Nobody read it. It's in the book, this one also. Okay, we have to tell this story if we can tell. His father, years and years ago, unfortunately, had cancer. And they had to remove one of his lungs. He wasn't a smoker yet, but he had... And then he was in remission for many years. It's tzaddik Shein Kamo, I'm telling you. His chesed, his tzaddik nister. Nobody knew the things he was doing for people in this community. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was sitting and learning Shri Yashiv. And then, unfortunately, the cancer came back. And the doctors, big doctors here in Sloan, told him, sorry, there's no hope. There's no hope. You have a few months to live. But then one doctor told him there's a new experimental treatment of some chemo in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in a hospital there. You could try it. It probably won't work, but if you want to try it, you could try it. And him and his family decided they're going to try it. It was like 6 rounds of chemo. And then maybe something. Extend his life a few months. Who knows? January of 2007. So this is 13 years ago. Almost 14 years ago. January of 2007. Yeah, January 2007. I mean, this is when this is going on. And he's about 2 rounds into that experimental treatment. And I went to Eretz Yisrael, like I've done every January for the past 20 years. Bez Hashem, we got to start moving, that we're allowed to go in, so we're going to have to be there. Bez Hashem. And I'm in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm davening for him, Yeshua ben Chaya. And I was in on a Tuesday night with Rabina in his office, talking about the Chevra, talking about the guys. And Rabina, that was the first time I was seeing Rabina, because he just got back on Tuesday. I'll tell you, you'll understand in a minute where. He wasn't around when I got in Sunday, Monday, whatever it was. So it was the first time we're talking. And I said to him, how are you, Chaim Gadol? You learned in the Tivarye. And I said, did you hear about how his father, Chaim Gadol's father, he said, yeah, no, I know, I'm davening for him. He pulls out a card, Rabin has it as well, this card that laminated, and all the different people he davens for, mamish, a list like you've never seen. Like, unbelievable. It's a very big tzaddik. Okay, people have whatever, he does things for people, and mamish, unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. I'm telling you, I know things that, like, blow your mind away. But he davens for lists, and he shows me on the card, his name, he davens for, he tells me, I daven for him 3 times a day. He shows me, Yeshua Bechaya. So I say to him, Rebbe, maybe Rebbe could, you know, I wasn't planning that trip to go or not. I said, maybe Rebbe could also get a bracha from Rebbe David, because the situation is really not so good. And maybe Rebbe could get a bracha from Rebbe David. So he says, I want you to know, this is Tuesday night, he says, I want you to know, this past Sunday, I went on a jet, on a private jet, he went with Rabbi David to Egypt. It was the Abir Yaakov's yard site. It was the Abir Yaakov's yard site. And they went to Egypt to daven by the Abir Yaakov. Pretty sure Paul Packer was with them also, by the way. If people want to authenticize the story, whoever knows Paul. I'm even young. Anyways, Lemaisa. And he tells me, when he was there, he gave the name to Rabbi David. And Rabbi David did hishtadchus. Chaver knows hishtadchus. He laid his whole body out on the kever. It's a special way of tefillah to connect the tzaddik on the kever and davened for Dr. Feibach. Incredible. So I'm in there throughout the rest of the week. Sunday I get back. Matzah Shabbat I leave. Sunday I get back, right? Post Shal Shudas. Chaver knows. Rabbi Simayer back. It's usually we try. So you can move me after Shal Shudas or Rabbi Simayer. Anyways, Lemaisa, we get back, and I call. I remember this. I don't know why I was learning. I was learning that Sunday afternoon in the Red Shul, but it's before the Red Shul looks like it looks. It was when it was a red house originally, and it was like I was upstairs. Why I was learning there, I have no idea. I don't know what, but I was learning there. And Howie calls me, and I'm talking to him. Oh, how you doing? I just got back from Red Shul. How's your father doing? He says, Rebbe, you're not going to believe it. Nisim Gluyim. Nisim Gluyim. My father, after 2 rounds of experimental treatment, all the doctors in Sloan told him nothing to do. 2 rounds of experimental treatment. They did a scan. He's completely free of cancer. Nothing. The doctor sent him home. I said, what are you talking about? No. So I said, Howie, tell me something. Chaim Gadol, what day was that? When did they do the scan? Can you tell me? He thinks about it. It's like, yeah, it was 1 week ago, last Sunday. It was probably like an hour or two after a bit of a davened for him.
But that'd be Yaakov.
Hey, Bishter. That's why I trust my life. Not the only reason. For the next hour, I could tell personal stories that I know myself with Rabbi David. That I trust my life with Rabbi David. Literally, I only have a fifth kid. Uriel's only in this world. Uriel Nassim Tzvi is only here because of Rabbi David. If there was no Rabbi David, we'd have four kids. That simple. No, there's no one else I would have trusted because we weren't really allowed medically to have another kid. Rabbi David many times pushed it off. Rabbi David told me many times not to try. And only when Rabbi David said it, I could. That we have a fifth kid. Tried to give him a bracha. It's all story. I'm not going to get into all the details. It's getting late and there's so much more to say. But I tried to say that he should give me a bracha. It should be a boy. He laughed and he wouldn't give a bracha. That should be a boy. Baruch Hashem was a boy. That laugh was the bracha. No, because my wife desperately, if she was going to go through all she went through for this kid, we had Shmuel's a boy, but then three girls, and she deeply wanted another boy, and she was going to go through a lot with all the pregnancy, whatever. Lamaisa. So why are we talking about Dr. Feibisch? Dr. Feibisch, listen, Chaver, Dr. Feibisch came moved into the five towns, and he grew up, he went to public school, not much. I know he went to Beth Shalom the first Shabbos in a pair of jeans. That's where he was holding. Listen, that's where he was holding. When he moved into this neighborhood in Lawrence, he went to shul in jeans. Thought it was normal. That's where he was holding. I don't know for how many years, but many, many, many years till he left the Oil Mamas to Gan Eden with all the tzaddikim. You know what he would do on Lel Shabbos? His kids, it took them a while to figure this out. He'd have the Suda. The Suda was over, he'd go straight to sleep for a few hours. And Chatzos, at 12 o'clock, he'd wake up, he'd go downstairs and learn the rest of the night till Shachris. Every single Friday night. He was a doctor, real estate, a balabas. Taurus Hashem to me, she was loving. She was trying to bring Mashiach. He understood. And we have to ask ourselves, I'm in yeshiva and I'm learning, but am I learning? Am I amal b'Torah? Am I Moshe Nefesh for Torah? Because that's what's going to bring Mashiach. That's Taurus Moshe that's going to bring Mashiach. How do we bring all this together now? Why are we talking about this? Let me explain to you, Chaver, what Yaakovinu was really trying to do when he lied down in the makom of his tata. You know what he was really trying to do? Ishtam Yoshev Ha'alam. Chassam Sofer says, in Parashas Vayera, Nisyono Shal Avram, the Nisyon of Avram by Akedat Yitzchak, Einem Oyer Elo Zechus Torah Shebiksav. That was Ma'orer Eschus of Torah Shebiksav. I'll explain what this means. Ki Masar Beno Kol Mashetziva Osu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo Peh El Peh. Meaning what? Hashem told him, Kach Nas Bincha. That was Kilu, it's written, it's Giloy, it's revealed, it's Torah Shebiksav. He saw it. He followed Torah Shebiksav. So he built a mysterious nefesh by willing to kill his son. It was building a connection to be mysterious nefesh for Torah Shebiksav. Ach, mysterious nefesh Yitzchak. But the mysterious nefesh of Yitzchak. L'shmo el aviv, to listen to his father. Ula hamino, and believe him. He didn't hear Hashem. He didn't have the vua. I'm listening to my Rebbe. I'm listening to my father. Ki kein sivu l'akad prachlo. That God said this to him. Hainu Mesiris Nefesh al Torah Shebaal Peh. That's Mesiris Nefesh of Torah Shebaal Peh. Mizeh Oichlam Yisroel Baal Mazeh. And that's what we, literally the word says eat from, but that's what we garner strength from. In this world, and he continues, Lo Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Yisroel El Torah Shebaal Peh. That's where our bris with Hashem is. And that's going to be where the Gula comes from. He continues to go. Because that's our Chaim HaKadosh, it's one and the same. You know what Yaakov Avinu was trying to do? By lying down in the Makom of Yitzchak, of course he had this vision, understanding, but Ba Hashemesh, I'm supposed to lie down also, like we explained already, and give up my life. But you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to connect again to Yitzchak, Mesiras Nefesh of Torah Shebaal Peh. Mesiras Nefesh of Torah Shebaal Peh. Of Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi that will bring the Geula. He was trying to show that Mesiras Nefesh. You know what the 12 Shvat, the 12 Avanim were? The Shishay Sidra Mishnah of Talmud Bavli, Shishay Sidra Mishnah of Talmud Yerushalmi. And Hashem was ma'agi them all together, it's all one. Because all of Torah is just to come to Hashem Echad. It's all one. And this is the Evan Shasia where the world was created, because Histakal Baraisu Barayama, the world is created from Torah. That's the void of each and every one of us. So therefore we see that the avoid of is to follow in the foots of the Yaakovina world B'nai Yisrael and lie down in that makom, and not just to give up our life physically, but ain't every term is kamel misha meimit atzmola. Zoi said Torah adam kiyamas ba'ayel, the Gemara in Brachos, daf tam gimel, ain't every term is kamel, are we moiser nefesh for Torah, Torah shavah peh? Because that's where the Mashiach is going to come, that's where Geula is going to come from. And Yaakovino understood that and lived that. Im lavan garti, v'tarig mitzashmarti. We want to stay strong in chutz laretz. V'tarig mitzashmarti. That wasn't just Yaakov saying to Esav, you know, I'm gonna, you can't get me because I keep mitzvos. He was giving the Siba the reason of how he was able to stay successful by lavan. Because im lavan, because tarig mitzashmarti. And that's what Chanukah is as well, Chaver. What is Chanukah? The yontiv of the 36 Neros of Chanukah that we're going to light, which is the Lamed Vav Neros of the Or HaGonos. The Or HaGonos. You know what the 25th word in the Torah is? Or. Because it's the 25th day of Kislev. But what's the Or HaGonos? The Or HaGonos for us is Torah Shebaal Peh. Medrash Tanchuma, Ois Gimel, and Parshas Noach. Check it up. You want to connect to our Aganas? Well, I'm lay Torah Shebaal Peh. Toil and Torah Shebaal Peh. Chanukah is the yontiv of that. The or is Kiner Mitzvah of Torah or. Of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because that's where the ultimate Gula. You don't think, yes, we're in the fourth Golos. But are we not living in Mamash Yavon? Is American culture and society today not Yavon? What else is it? It's Mamash, we can understand Yavon. So we need the Or of Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what Yaakov was connecting to be Moser Nefesh for that Torah. Came to me yesterday. That's why he was going to Haran. That's why he was going to Haran. Because Haran is what? Ner Ches. Haran is the Oisios Ner Ches, the 8 candles. Which is the aura of Torah Shebaal Peh. But then it bothered me. Because Ner Charon, Ner, that's a beautiful remez. But then the gematria of Charon is 258. It didn't sit well with me, 258. So it said to me, but then I thought about it. When you have Ner Ches, you have 8 candles. But the candles is the wick. The wick needs oil. So you need a pach of shemen, right? So you have to add the pach to the Ner, to Charon. What's Pach Gematria? Pach is Gematria? Pach is Pech Chaf. It's 100. Pach is 100. Pach is 100. Plus Charon 258 is 358. So when you have the Pach, you have the oil with the wick, and you light it properly and connect it to Shebaal Peh, you have 358. Gematria Mashiach. Gematria Mashiach. That's when we say Zeichel Mashiach. Vayishkav ba'makom ahu. Vayishkav ba'makom ahu. We can't not give Torah tonight and share a little Torah. I shouldn't say ever called Torah little. A big Torah from the Hilga Basayan is your tide. Is tomorrow night. It's supposed to connect to the Tzaddik. The Basayan says, Vayishkav ba'makom, we lay down in that place. And now we understand what that laying down was. To connect to Yitzchak, to be Moshe Nefesh, Akedas Yaakov. And to build a Mesiras Nefesh and Torah Shebaal Peh for each and every one of us. That will bring us to the ultimate Geula. Vayishkav, he laid down. He says his Yishkav is Yesh v'Yesh Chav Beis. V'Yesh Chav Beis, the Basayim says. There are 20, what are 22? The letters of the Aleph Beis, which makes up the Torah. Meaning, what was Yaakov understanding? There's Torah everywhere. V'Yesh Chav Beis, it's here, it's there, it's everywhere. Manoira hamokum hazeh, because there's Torah here. There's Torah everywhere. You don't have to be in the Tivariyeh or in Shalvim or in Arish or whatever the yeshiva was. You don't have to be in those in the yeshiva. You don't have to be steps from Harbayis to learn a Basai and to learn a Chsam Sofer, to learn a Chumash, to learn a Gemara. Halavai, we should be there. We all yearn to be there. I don't mean, you know, in my heart, Libi Mizrach, it kills me. But for the time being, if the Eibishter decided we're here, or we decided it's best to be here, as Rav Moshe taught us, Kol Hashleimus, and it's all the same Svarim. Yesh Chav Beis B'Makom Hazeh, and it's that Torah that ultimately will bring the Geula. That's the Torah that will bring the Geula. We can't forget it. Come on, mate. There's a touch by the story. The Holocaust just bring it. I'm gonna read just one just to end. It's a sipur that. And I think we've read it before, but it, every time I read this story, and just the way he writes it, it's mamish. What did you say? What did you say, Zadik? It's a good story. That one's not in. It's in a book. That the Chabad Shliach tells over that story. You know, that's a good story. That's a tremendous story. It's a lot of big stories. He writes from Chil Spiro, writes so beautifully here. The following story. We'll end with this, Chevra. When Moshe Brookman arrived in Auschwitz, he was immediately ushered into a room, stripped of his clothing and his dignity, shorn like a sheep, and given a flimsy inmate suit to wear. He and the others were then hosed down and forced to put on their clothing while still dripping wet. They would periodically undergo this indignity. Moshe worked near the train tracks in Auschwitz. His flimsy tunic did not warm him on a cool day. It was wholly insufficient in the winter days when temperatures were always below zero. The only slight comfort would be at night, when the prisoners would lie next to each other and be warmed by each other's body heat. One particularly cold day, Moshe and others were close to freezing to death. That night he lay down on his bed, a slab of concrete, along with the others, and he tried to somehow warm themselves. The fellow next to Moshe heard him whispering, but could not understand what Moshe was saying. He finally asked, and Moshe told him he was repeating the Shakla Vitaria of Mesechta's Beitza. The man was shocked. Now? Here? In Auschwitz? Is your life is hanging in the balance, or you're trying to stay conscious instead of succumbing to hypothermia? This is when you're learning? Moshe explained, I have a kviyas to learn Mesechta's Beitza every night. I've been doing it since the war began. I always make sure that I'm kovei itim al Torah, and this time is my kvias. Moshe understood that the key to survival did not lie in the clothing he wore, but in the warmth of the Torah he learned. He knew that there was one thing and one thing only that can protect us from danger, and that is Torah. In a world of chaos, he still maintained his kvias for learning. This was not a daf yomi shir attended every morning with a thermos of hot coffee. It was not a blot shir and a shtiebel and bar parker flappish. This learning was done while lying on a freezing slab of concrete, with no clothing to warm him, half starved and totally weak in Auschwitz. But Torah was precious to him, and he was not going to forsake it for a moment. Chevra, the Rechaim HaKadosh taught us, it's going to be the Schus of Moshe, the Schus of Torah that brings Geula. We learned tonight and understood why Yaakov did Akedas Yaakov, to build a Mesir Snefesh for Torah in each and every one of us. Of Torah Shabbat Pel like his Tata. And that's all the Ramazan that's going to bring Mashiach. But I'll tell you something, that like that Tzaddik Moshe in Auschwitz. Don't forget, Halavai it's going to bring the ultimate Gula Bekarov, and we need it badly. But until that point, in our personal lives, that's what will bring us Gula. Even each and every one of us, we have challenge in life, we have nisyonis in life. We have ups and downs. We have a world that's scary that we live in. We have nisyonos from the outside world, from the inside world, from our family lives, in all different ways. The key to every geula is that as well. If we're one with Torah, with the clarity, we're one with Hashem, we can handle whatever comes our way. We're living a chaye olam haba already. Because I have Hashem by myself, I have Torah, I have light. But it's only for those of us that are omel b'Torah. That's when the Medrash says, I get to the Arganus. That's the Neiros Chanukah. That's the Yaakovinu who is Moser Nefesh for Torah. Willing to give up his life like Yitzchok for Torah. Ish tam yoshev ha'alim. We have to ask ourselves, not only are we learning, are we omel b'Torah? That means when it's hard. That means late nights. That means right now it's beautiful. We're together midnight. But maybe some of us, when Shir's over tonight, could go learn even a little bit more. Maybe we can get home tonight. Maybe we'll get home at 2 and I'll put in another half hour. Because I could do it. It's not for everybody. Maybe I need my sleep and I'll do it early in tomorrow morning. Everybody different. Everyone's a cheshbon and what's best for themselves. What's best for themselves? But are we amal b'Torah? Are we toiling in Torah? And we'll see, not only will that help Bez Hashem bring the Mashiach, you'll see it's going to bring you immediate, intense geula right now. And I'm good. Eibishter's with me. Because every time I learn Gemara, what am I doing? Balatanya Perek Dalet, I'm hugging the Rabbeinu Shalom. You think you're going to have a tough day when you hug the Rabbeinu Shalom? You're not going to have a tough day when you hug the Rabbeinu Shalom. No matter what comes your way, you're going to be okay. Don't ever forget. We should be Zoicha. Just follow, we're B'nai Yisrael, to follow in the footsteps of Yaakovinu. By Yishkov, we should all lay down Yesh Chaf Beis and know that Torah is everywhere. Live the words of the Drash Moshe and be big wherever we are. That Tzchus will be Zechid, a personal Gula, till we Zechid, the ultimate Gula, the Gula Shleima, and Herab Yemeinu.